Okay, well, good evening. It's an absolute pleasure to be here. And my wife Harriet there, of course, is off to the side. Our dear friends Arlen and Rhoda Johnson, we've known them for many years with New Tribes Mission. So it's a delight to see them here as well. I just might take a little bit of time here to explain what I would like to cover, just a couple minutes here. But tonight, the title of my message tonight is called What's Going On Downriver? And there's a reason for that title, and it comes right out from a real life story that a brand new Basodio Christian asked us. So I want to talk about some things there, getting us to think quietly and reflectively before the Lord about the theme of the missions conference, Hear My, Send Me. Tomorrow morning at the men's breakfast, I want to talk about walking with God in the midst of weakness. How God really does use the weak and the foolish. And Sunday morning, we're going to talk about how the Lord brought this people group. This is one representative. There's actually an interesting story. Sunday night, I'll tie in with this fellow here. His name is Kalambi. This is a picture of the Basodio people. I don't know if you can see it due to the glare, but maybe. This is how we found them so many years ago, but we'll do our best to try to help you understand more about the Basodio people. Not only what the story was way back when, but what they're even doing now here in the year 2007. What's going on with the Basodio people, and what perhaps can we learn for how God has drew them to himself? I realize Todd introduced a little bit there. Let me just give a little more background about my dear wife Harriet and I. We grew up from South Jersey. You may hear a little bit of the New Jersey twang coming out from time to time. My humble apologies for that if that's the case. But we grew up as childhood sweethearts in South Jersey and came to the Lord in 1971. When the Lord Jesus came into our lives, absolutely did it about face. And we were soon thereafter challenged to take the gospel to those who never heard. Well, we got married in 1973 and entered New Tribes Missions training only 2 months later. And we were with New Tribes all the way till actually 2005. After 4 years of training with New Tribes, the Lord gave us the privilege to go to Papua New Guinea. Anybody know where Papua New Guinea is? All right, then I won't tell you where it is for you that don't know. Find out from your neighbor. No, actually, it's on the other side of the world, just north of Australia. Second largest island in the world. The home of some 5 million different people. But the interesting thing about Papua New Guinea is that on that island of 5 million people are some 832 different distinct languages. It's absolutely unbelievable that there could be that many different languages bound there amongst those people. Nevertheless, the Lord led us there and gave us the privilege to work with another couple, Bob and Nobi Kennel, from Seattle, Washington area, with them and their children and ourselves with our children, to pioneer a work among the Basodio people previously unreached and uncontacted. And there the Lord gave us the privilege of working from 1978 to 1996, to where we learned their language and culture. We were involved in evangelism and seeing a church planted, and then seeing the Basodios themselves go on to plant other churches. Today, the New Testament has been is finished. About 6,000 verses of the Old Testament are done as well. We're still working on that. They have their own leaders. Their own churches are functioning by themselves with no resident missionary. We thank the Lord that he truly is building his church. An absolute unbelievable privilege that God gave us all those many years. After 1996, we came home. We came back to the States. And New Tribes Mission Executive Committee asked my wife and I, together with some other families, to head up a process of relooking at the entire training program. So for the next 6 years, we were involved in redesigning the training program for New Tribes Mission together with many others, and had the privilege of working for 4 years out in Pennsylvania, training new missionaries who were going out for the first time. So that whole process was from 1996 to 2002. In 2002, kind of a long story, but I'm cutting and pasting here. The Lord just gave my wife and I, together with some of our co-workers, to start an organization. And as Todd said, the name is Worldview Resource Group. And in a nutshell, we're just simply trying to take the kind of training for cross-cultural evangelism and church planning that we've done in New Tribes and make it available to others in the missions community. So that's what we've been doing. Most of our work is overseas. India, Indonesia, Central and South America, and even over into Africa, as God has given us many, many opportunities to help people in understanding, well, how do you go about ministering cross-culturally? We thank the Lord for that privilege and just trust Him to keep leading us in the days ahead with the ministry He set before us. So, with no further ado, let's think on some things here that the Lord has brought to our attention. One of the things I was thinking about as I heard the theme, which I was delighted that the theme was, "Hear My, Send Me," is because it speaks to me of a heart that is truly humble. And that's what I hope in the next few days we can think on things in this regard. A heart that gains a new perspective, a fresh perspective, a challenging perspective relative to who God is. Because I find that when I get a better look at the Lord, I get a better look at myself and the grace He's extended us in the Lord Jesus. And it brings peace, joy, and the desire, man, just to live for Him even more. A heart that truly is surrendered to Him and continues to grow in that surrender of, man, Lord, whatever You want. It may be a geographical change, but it may be right here in Colorado Springs, reaching out to greater depths to our neighbors, people at work, at school, whatever the case may be. There's still an unbelievable, as you know, there's a great need for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to keep going forward. Other religions such as Hinduism, Islam, they're not waiting for anyone. They're still expanding in their respective places of where they're trying to see people come to their particular religious group. It's in that context that the battle is raging. After 2,000 years, there's still well over 2,000 different people groups that have yet to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And so we have a lot of our work cut out for us, as it were, as we just simply yield to Him. And man, let God use us wherever He desires. He has not rescinded His command to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And the other thing I realize is that He's not stopped using people to reach people. The Basotho people were there in the jungle, never heard a parrot or a crocodile say anything to them. It was people that God has ordained to reach people. And there will be no doubt who gets the glory when that is accomplished. The scriptures declare, I'm going to read a portion of scripture to you that's very familiar, but think about this as we consider, "Hear My, send Me." In Romans, the Apostle Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said this: "For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing His riches on all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." But then the Holy Spirit prompts Paul to insert some questions to get the congregation that roamed there to be thinking at a deeper level. "How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, 'How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news.'" And I'll tell you what. There is not a thing I would change about my life, the privilege to tell these dear and precious people the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2,000 years had passed and these guys had never heard anything. I remember the first time when we were amongst the Basotias and we began to learn their language. Their language, it was an unknown and unwritten language. And so we were starting, you know, Dowi, Dada, Hale, Gi, Gilemoko, Gimoslo, and on and on. We had to build up their language, discover their language, break it down into writing and so on and so forth, to create an alphabet and then teach them to read and write their own language. And I'll never forget when I, just for the record's sake, I asked these fellows, had you ever heard of Jesus Christ? They just looked at me with blank stares. They didn't ask me, who is Jesus Christ? They said to me, what is Jesus Christ? Man, am I going to sit home and watch television? No, not at all. Man, the Lord had given us the privilege to take the gospel to those who never heard. And He was really at that time using the weak and the foolish in the persons of myself and my wife. And I want to share a little bit about that tomorrow at the men's breakfast. I am looking forward to giving you an eyewitness account on Sunday of what we experienced here and what we saw the living Lord Jesus Christ do in the hearts and minds of these people. And then what the what they, as new believers, have done since then. Absolutely unbelievable to see the work of the Spirit of God moving amongst them. But tonight I want us to reflect on a question that was posed to us by a new Christian after they heard the scriptures, after they heard the gospel, after they trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, only two days after they had come to Christ, was this question posed to us. Let me give you just a wee bit more background. The Basodia is, this is exactly how we found them. This isn't contrived. This isn't posed. Well, take off your clothes and put this on. I want to take a neat photo here. No, this is really how we found them. Not many people. Very isolated. Totally cut off from the outside world. The only knowledge they had of this color skin was back in the mid-60s when there were gold mining explorations going on from some gold mining companies in Australia. Never ceases to amaze me what people will do for money. They were going to be in those jungles looking for the gold and the silver. Papua New Guinea is very rich in minerals. But still, all that time, the gospel had never gone there. When we first met them, again, the men were just wearing this grass here with jungle vine wrapped around their waist here. They pierced their nose through the septum there, through the nose here, and then through the septum. Sometimes they would have like a pig's tusk in there. The women just wore swamp grass. That's all they had. They were using coconut shells for bowls and inverted parrot bills for spoons. They had never even seen stick matches before. When they were starting fires, they had slits of bamboo that they would put down here, some sticks this way, take the bamboo, run it under their sticks, stand on either end of the sticks, and they would pull the bamboo like this. Underneath there, they might have some coconut shredded coconut skin, maybe some dry leaves for kindling. But this is how they were starting fires when we found them. Fighting amongst themselves, tribal warfares with neighboring tribes. In fact, when we done an initial survey of some of the men as we got to know them, there was only 4 of them who had not murdered someone in their lifetime. They weren't, you know, sometimes you get the impression that they don't know any better. No, that's not true. And I it's interesting, as I watched Discovery Channel, trying to make that look all innocent, one with nature, having a gay old time. That's not even close to the truth. Not even close. Immorality, adultery, fornication, homosexuality, the order of the day. We found them exactly like God says you're going to find them in Romans 1. It really was true. Now, when we met them, we told them that we were there to tell them God's talk. And again, we met them through a neighboring tribe. and it was obviously hard to communicate to them. The national trade language in Papua New Guinea is Melanesian Pidgin English. And that's a trade language that the 832 different language groups use to communicate to one another. But these guys didn't know that. There was a couple guys that had, from a neighboring tribe, had a very loose and kind of fragmented understanding of it. So through broken Melanesian Pidgin English, we were able to tell them that we wanted to come help them. That's all they understood. Telling them that we wanted to tell them God's talk, we could have said, we're here to tell you about hard-boiled eggs, and it would have meant about as much. Absolutely no idea. They had no idea what we were even talking about. All they said to us was, if you want to come live with us and help us, whatever that was understood at the time, then they said, please, and they literally said these words, we are not happy living the way we are. Some of the neighboring tribes from downriver would call the Basotios. They tried to stop us. Some of the neighboring tribes, when we went by in our boats, because we had the only access was by river, they tried to stop us. And these neighboring tribes from downriver, speaking of the Basotios, said, why do you want to waste your time on them? They're only wild animals, jungle pigs. That was the label they had in their neighborhood. But you know what we saw? Someone created in the image of God. Someone for whom the Lord Jesus Christ died. Here am I, send me. The rest is history. I can't wait till Sunday gets here. You're going to get all the intimate details of what God did amongst these people. And it's not contrived. It's not an evangelical fish story. Just so it sounds good. I'm going to tell you the truth. God is my witness of what we experienced there amongst these dear and precious people. Absolutely revolutionized my faith in the living power of the Lord Jesus Christ and the authority and the power of His Word. And I believe that's the way they see it too. Absolutely awesome. In fact, and it was good news. It was good news. And it was good news. In fact, like as I said, only 2 days after they had come to Christ, still reveling in the forgiveness, in knowing eternal life now with Christ. A brand new babe in the Lord Jesus walked into our house. His name was Hadibayo. Now, put yourself in my shoes. Okay, there you are in the jungle. You're in your home. Walks in the house. And now a question out of the blue. You know what the question was? How long has it been since Jesus has died? How are you going to answer that one? See, their view of time is not linear. That's our Western view. It's cyclical. And the only way they hold their time is father, grandfather, great-grandfather, and then it starts over again. There's no sense telling him 2,000 years. But he asked the question, how long has it been since Jesus has died? So then he saw that we were kind of fumbling around with an answer. He said, let me ask you this. Did your father know? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Dad knew. Did your grandfather know? Oh, yeah. Yeah, they knew. They knew. They all knew. Did your great-grandfather know? Oh, yeah. They knew. Yeah. Great-grandfather knew. And then with a piercing innocence, he said this. You mean to tell me you've had this message all this time and you're just coming now? Where have you been? Where have you been? Then the next question came. Now you have to understand these guys live up the headwaters. They don't know about earth, nations. They hear of other countries, United States, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, so on and so forth. And every single country is downriver. Then came the next question. What's going on downriver? What on earth are you people doing? You see, we, you and I, are the downriver ones. What's going on downriver? What is going on downriver? What on earth are you people thinking? What are you thinking? You had the message all this time and you're just getting it here now. Now, how do you answer that one? Silence. What are you going to do? Start doing a verbal tap dance? No. Silence. Silence, silence, silence. What are you going to say? You see, because it was true for the Basodios, as it was to those whom the Apostle Peter wrote to, when he said, though you do not see him yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. And Paul to the Corinthians, thanks be unto God for his indescribable gift. And so Hadibio, and it wasn't just Hadibio, but they were dumbfounded. Why did it take so long? And they held that same standard over their own heads because the first thing they wanted to do is to tell their relatives. Until they did. And I might even say, until they have been doing for 25 years since they first heard the gospel. Even as recent as this very year, which I'm going to talk to you about on Sunday night. So they were ready to go. This was good news. And go they did. Rejoicing with joy inexpressible and full of glory. But that same haunting question keeps coming back. Where have you been? What is going on downriver? Think about it. He doesn't have a clue of Colorado Springs, Colorado, United States. They don't have a clue what it really means when they hear these nations. That they're on an island in a world of nations. But just because he doesn't know geography doesn't mean that he doesn't have wisdom. You know, there was another question that the Lord Jesus, two questions that I think help answer what Hadibio said. The Lord Jesus, you remember he was asking the disciples, hey, who are people saying I am? And they gave answers. And he says, well, who do you say that I am? Peter raises his hand. Well, maybe he didn't raise his hand. Now, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And from that time, the Lord Jesus began to tell them, you know what? I am going to have to die. And there I'm going to be mistreated and so on and so forth. And I'm going to be crucified. And then raised on the third day. Do you recall what happens in Matthew 16 after the Lord Jesus is telling his disciples that that has to happen? Peter pulls him aside and says what? Peter begins to rebuke him. The scripture says, Lord, please, that's never going to happen. He said, far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you. He's trying to talk the Lord Jesus out of the crucifixion. Of course, obviously, Peter didn't understand what he was really saying, nor what the Lord was really communicating. Peter was not clearly understanding. And then the Lord Jesus turns to Peter immediately and says, get behind me, Satan. You're a hindrance to me because you do not set your mind on the things of God, but on the things of men. Think about that conversation. What was going on there? Right after that, the Lord Jesus begins to talk to his disciples and he says this, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. the paradox of what the Lord Jesus says. This is the way life works. And then he goes on and says to his disciples, and this is the other question that I think during these next few days, not just over the next few days, is a life verse. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his own soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For his soul. Look, a man and the soul of a man that's going to last for eternity. Time out here. The world is throwing every kind of thing at us, telling us of what's supposed to be important, what's supposed to be of great value. And the Lord Jesus says, put the whole world together and it's not going to equal the value of a soul. It's not going to equal the value of a soul. And that's why Hadabiah is coming into the house and saying, wait a minute, how long has it been since Jesus has died? I don't know what he was thinking, but maybe he was just thinking it was only a few months ago. And we were Johnny on the spot, or a few years ago rather, and we were Johnny on the spot getting there. Well, he was stunned when he found out that those generations knew. What if he really knew how long? How many cyclicals? I think he would have really had a hard time struggling if he could ever really put it together. So what will we give as Christians for our own soul? For the soul of our loved ones? I look at these dear and precious young people, the young children. You know what? We have the stewardship of raising them, but in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, don't we? It's not neutral out there. If we don't reach them, somebody else will. And probably not real friendly to Christian beliefs. But isn't it true that we get distracted? I think that is true. We get distracted. And I'll tell you what, we get distracted right here in good old U.S. of A. In fact, the Lord Jesus addressed that this whole battle, and I think the battle rages so often from the enemy of God and the enemy of man, because he knows, that is, Satan knows that, look, he heard the Lord Jesus. He understands how it works. Where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. And don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. I'm not saying if we're not all missionaries somewhere out in the jungles, then we're not serving God. That's not what this is about. That's not what I'm saying. Here I am, send me. Where he sends you, that's between you and the Lord. But the need remains. And it remains right here in the good old U.S. of A. as well as it does overseas. Earth has not outgrown its need. It is needy, needy, needy. And God has us in our circle of influence where we can keep reaching out to him. But we do get distracted. We really and truly do get distracted. Where the word says there in Mark 4, it says the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things entering in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Making it unfruitful. Well, the truth of the matter is we're all in this battle and we all have weaknesses. We all can easily get sidetracked. Isn't it true? Distracted. Preoccupied with other things. Is there any help for we, the easily distracted ones? Well, I think there is. And I want to close by just taking our minds to a passage of Scripture. Because you know what I find? I need the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ 24/7. How about you? Man, come on, 24/7, 365. No timeouts, no coffee breaks. Man, come on. The Holy Spirit's not within us to work himself out of a job. As has well been said, it's not difficult to live the Christian life. It's impossible because it's his life. It's his life. And as we abide in him, he can live his life within us, helping us to be all that he wants us to be. But my point is this. The whole thing of perspective, gaining and maintaining his perspective, moment by moment. Because we do get easily distracted. But here am I, send me, speaks of a proper perspective. And that's what I believe Isaiah gained there in Isaiah chapter 6. He got a brand new look at Jehovah, the Lord of glory. And man, what was the first thing he said? Oh, man, I'm a basket case. I need help. And the Lord did indeed intervene, like He's intervened in each of our lives, that we might serve Him and walk with Him in quiet peace and joy, being a blessing to others as we seek to serve them. A couple of verses I want to close with come out of Luke chapter 10, if you have your Bibles. If not, I'll be reading there. Luke chapter 10, pick it up in verse 38. And why am I going to this passage of Scripture? Because I believe it speaks of the divine help in our distractedness. And this is how I believe I want to start the missions conference here, so that during the next few days specifically, we wouldn't be distracted, but we, as it were, would be sitting at the Lord's feet. The Scripture says this: Now as they were traveling along, He entered a village. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. And a woman named Martha welcomed Him into her home. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. Now think about it just briefly. She's distracted with much serving. Needful things to do, no doubt, I suppose. But she was distracted with much serving. And isn't that true, how life can just start coming at you? Man, work, homework, the kids, sports, this, that. And it's just like, wow. We go like this. We live in that kind of bubble so often, and we are distracted, preoccupied with other things. Even our roles as fathers, as mothers, man, as kids, parents, single people, whatever the case may be, our responsibilities in church and so on. And we can get distracted with much serving, no matter what the context, no matter what the problem. But it's interesting, in being distracted, she approaches the Lord, and look what she says: Lord, do You not care? And I don't know about you, but I know about me. When I am distracted, man, I'll tell you what, I have said those things to the Lord in principle. Lord, don't You care? I'm not saying, Lord, here am I, send me. I'm saying, Lord, don't You care? Don't You care? The point here and the principle, I believe, is that we lose focus. We lose perspective. We're all distracted, doing all kinds of stuff, and perhaps even needful things. But the attitude so easily comes around and says, Lord, don't You care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to come and help me. The distraction with much serving hindered her perspective, to where now she even had an attitude. And saying to the Lord Jesus Christ, think about it, saying to the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, do You not care? But I think if we're honest in our heart of hearts, we can find our own hearts saying that in our particular lot in life. I know I've been there. I'll raise my hand, guilty as charged. Guilty, 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 guilty. But we lose perspective. And so what's the Lord, His gracious response? Martha, 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 you are troubled and worried about many things. I've heard the Lord say that to me, only it's George, George. But guys, really, as we think about these next few days, couldn't you put your name in there? And think about it. Just as you reflect before the Lord, I'm not even saying to do it now. Maybe tonight when you go home, reflect, Lord, what are the kinds of things that I'm worried about, that I'm troubled about, that distracts me from focusing on you and what you really want me to be about. It's not that we leave the other things undone and now we get sloppy in the way we live. No. But putting things in proper perspective. Because it's either, Lord, here am I, send me. Or, and I'm not talking about geographically sending somewhere necessarily. Lord, here am I, send me. Or, Lord, don't you care? Lord, don't you care? Look how the Lord Jesus responded, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken from her. And the good part was simply sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus and hearing His word. Those other things need to be done, yes. But first things first. First things first. Proper perspective. Sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And gaining that proper perspective. Guys, that's all I wanted to share tonight. That as we start off this missions conference, this would be a good time, a reflective time, a heartwarming time, as it were, each and every one of us sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus in our time of reflection before Him and hear His word, whatever that word is that He speaks to each of us as individuals and perhaps corporately as a church, so that we get closer and closer to growing in our ability to say to Him daily, Lord, here am I. Man, send me. Send me. That, I believe, is where the answer to what Hadibayo asked, what's going on downriver, I believe it's there at the feet of the Lord Jesus that the issue is resolved. Anyway, dear friends, I hope that just gives you a little bit of some kind of encouragement or hope as we begin our days here. But may the words of the Lord Jesus Himself help us, each of us, and I include myself, to stay focused on Him, sitting at His feet, hearing His word, and then being about whatever it is He instructs us to do. Anyway, looking forward to being with you guys over the next couple of days. And I thank you again for the privilege of being here. And God bless each and every one of you. Thanks very much.